defender of the working class majority, Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Big victory, and as I said, look, democracy works. The resistance works. And now is not the time to throw up our hands, go, yay, we won, and jump in the streets. Now's the time to keep it up, because this is where it gets ugly. You've now got the rat cornered. And the question is what do they do now that they're cornered, that their bad policy, that their horrible ideology is on full display, failure? Where do they go? This repeal, this could be the worst option of all. Here to talk about what we should be doing, what we must be doing, and how we must be doing it, our good friend David Yankovich. David, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Rick.
So am I right? Big victory, big win for the resistance, democracy. Thoughts?
Not yet. we have a little bit more work to do here with the health care. It's not over yet. They're going to try to force through a full-on repeal, which is what they want. Once they don't get that, then I'm sure they're going to go back to the drawing boards and come back with something just stupid. So we have to keep resisting. We have to keep calling. The everybody who's been showing up and fighting, this is how we win. We're doing body blow after body blow to Trump and the GOP. And we've got to keep going.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm of the mindset you celebrate your little victories along the way. To me, this is a big victory that it was stopped, that this horrible plan was stopped. But, like I said, now that the rat is cornered, how ugly does the repeal and all of that become? Because that's really the danger in this. If they strictly repeal it, everything collapses immediately.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that. I think that, that's what they want to do, but 22 million people are going to lose coverage under the plan. If they take it away, it's going to be everybody. Plus pre-existing conditions that go by the wayside, everything. So to full-on, completely repeal it, and they're seeing the political climate. They have to be seeing the poll numbers changing. They have to be seeing a president who isn't effective. So I don't think politically it would be smart for them to even have that vote, but hey, let them do it.
Well, let me ask you that. Since he is that unpopular, and is this a referendum on him, or is this a referendum on just how bad the Republican ideology is? Because, look, I look at it and go, there's nothing surprising in this legislation. The thing that's surprising is it wasn't actually even worse, which is what I know the Cruises of the world and the Rand Pauls absolutely want. But I'm not surprised by what I've seen come out of this.
I'm not surprised either. I definitely think that this is a referendum on Donald Trump, but probably the worst person besides him in this is going to be Paul Ryan. He's the architect of the bill. And this is now, three times they failed? They haven't been able to get it through. It shows that they're really good at obstructing, but when it comes down to actually putting a plan in motion, they have 7 years for this.
Yeah.
7 years to think of a plan up, effectively execute it, and bring it to the masses. And they finally get the office and power, everything else, and this is what they bring.
Yeah, they said, didn't they say day one? Day one, this was going to happen? They're kind of 6 months late.
Day one. Yeah, they also said, within 30 days, we're going to have a plan to defeat ISIS. We've actually killed more civilians in the Middle East than we did the entire time Obama was president already in 7 months. So, they have no plan for anything at all.
Now, speaking of a plan, one of the knocks against the Democrats, and I'm sure you've seen the polling, there are those who are saying that, the Democrats are just the obstruction party now. They don't really have a vision, a platform, a plan to move forward. I'm curious your thought.
There's some truth to that. Right now, we are the obstruction party. We're trying to resist and stop all the horrible things that kill people and hurt people. I think that's one hell of a plan, though. We have to stop the Republicans and do that, but we do also need to get a better message. We got to get back to Social Security, health care, the foundations of who we are, strengthen unions and right to work and everything. We need to get back to our basics. I definitely agree with, some of the people out there who are critics of us. We have to get a simplified message and get a plan, too, because otherwise we're no better than them.
Right. Now, isn't this an opportunity for the Democrats to go, okay, well, your plan failed miserably and failed, in front of everybody. Isn't this an opportunity for them to say, look, you know, we can change it to Trump care or Ryan care or whatever you want care, and we can make it better. We can tweak. We can bring single payer. Isn't this an opportunity for Democrats to stand up on the podium and say, we've got a plan?
Oh, absolutely. I know that the Democrats have been trying to do that. You know, work with us on this. Let's make it better. You know, let's get the AC and strengthen it. Let's go all in. The Republicans don't want to work with the Democrats. They, you know, like what you tell me this all the time. You know, it seems any idiot can tear down a house. You know, the Democrats actually want to get in there and fix the issues that, you know, are plaguing Obamacare a little bit. And the Republicans don't want any help, don't want any assistance, don't want to work with anybody. They just want to tear the house down, literally.
Or flip it for a huge profit and leave the next guy holding the bag,
which
seems to be very, very telling. But here's the thing, and I keep coming back to, you know, I love the fact that the Democrats have found a spine in this. And I've loved the fact that, you know, there wasn't one Democrat that caved, which I think is huge, don't you?
No, it's absolutely huge. I mean, usually it's, you know, you have three or four or five, you know, Democrats that cut and run and, you know, go to the highest bidder. This time everybody stood united. You know, I'm really proud of everybody. And I'm really proud of the resistance and the people who are making phone calls. And you know, they've been sharing their stories, especially with me. You know, it really means a lot that we were able to stop them from doing this.
Yeah, so the question now becomes, again, I go back to this moment of the messaging and of putting people into political office, of which, you know, you're working at doing. You know, at some point, we've got to make these Republicans pay the price for, you know, this last 6 months of chaos. I don't know if you've seen it. The dollar is at an all-time low, or at least, you know, over the last 10 months. A lot of bad things are coming down the pike because of their dysfunction.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I threw it out yesterday, too. Like, what are you going to run for? School boards we need, city councils we need, county commission, state representatives. You know, I mean, if you want to make changes, we need to start taking back the 1,000 offices that we've lost in the last, you know, 5 years. I mean, that's absolutely critical. We have to get to that place again. You know, but like I said, I'm really proud. We do have a really good bench that's showing up. I'm really excited about the candidates in 2018 that, you know, jumped in early already. We're already fighting, already raising money. I feel really optimistic.
Yet all I hear from the media is that, you know, the Democrats are lost in the out to sea. They're, you know, they're just the resistance. They're, you know, they're just, you know, saying no. They're the Republicans of old.
You know, and that's BS. You know, we have so much that we're doing. The resistance. First off, if you underestimate the resistance, you're in trouble. You know, I mean, it's not a group of 15,000 people or 20,000 people. You know, this is millions and millions of people who are out there marching and engaging. And 85% of them are women. So the Republicans continuing to, you know, attack women's issues, that's going to be a horrible form as well. So, I mean, it's an absolutely huge moment for us to step up and to be who we're supposed to. But history moves slow. And when we're living through this, it's excruciating and it's time consuming. But when our grandkids read about this, it's going to be like two chapters in a history book. So we have to remember that history is going to be slow. We have to be patient. We have to pick our spot and we have to be strategic about what we're doing.
Good point. I mean, but I look at these last 6 months and I got, and, you know, I get your point, and you know, the MLK, the arc of history is long but bends towards progress. These last 6 months have seemed like eternity. My daughter came to me last night and said, "Dad, it's only been 6 months. Are you kidding?"
I mean, it's funny. I mean, it does seem like an eternity, but with like Nixon at Watergate, there was a poll that was released yesterday that said that Trump's approval ratings are actually worse than Nixon's were before Watergate, or during Watergate. So what we're looking at, you know, is it's a really slow process. And, you know, Watergate took years to do. And you got to remember also, they were in a similar situation. You know, at that point, Nixon just won the presidency with 49 of 50 states. You know, they had a lot of control. And it was Republicans who made the final call that impeached Trump. And they did that because they saw their poll numbers get weak and they saw their fundraising stop.
So I mean, impeach Nixon. You're being a little hopeful, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you know, But, you know, once their foundation cracks, once they can't raise money, once, you know, like, I mean, you're seeing, you know, Peter O'Rourke yesterday, he raised more money than Ted Cruz in his Senate campaign. You got Mike Levin in California. There's a whole bunch of different races. You have Randy here, Iron Stash for everybody who's listening. There's really strong candidates. Once that they start seeing that they're going to lose, they can't keep this up, everybody's awake, they're going to start having to make different changes if they want to win re-election.
Now, I understand the next thing after the repeal-only bill that they're going to, evidently they're talking about moving, the next thing coming, because yesterday the House Republicans rolled out their tax scheme, which, you know, again, you look at this stuff and it's the same ideological nonsense that they've been putting out for the last couple of decades. It's only going to make inequality worse. It's only going to make pain and suffering worse for the working class and the working poor of this country. But it will. It will make the very wealthy fat and happier.
Well, that's why they voted for him.
But I get that. I mean, I get why the 1% votes for him. So when I see a poll that says 17% of the people are not opposed to their health care plan, I get the 1%. I don't get the other 16%.
I mean, it's a really easy thing to explain if you're getting your media from a different place than most people do. You know, to them, all they see is that this is good, Democrats are bad, you know, and then they knock over Clinton or do whatever. We have to take the same strength and the same fight that we just had for health care, and we need to put it towards every single battle that we're fighting with them on. And we might not win every single battle, but we're weakening them every time we show up. And we really don't want them messing with the taxes. We've seen what they're trying to do. Everybody's awake. So, you know, start making your calls now about the taxes. You know, absolutely not. Don't do this to us.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, you know, and I go back to, you know, just this idea that, you know, how much is enough? How much can we, how often do we play this game? How often do we buy into the myth that if we give the wealthy all of the money, that somehow it will trickle down on the rest of us? When do we wake up from that moment? Or do we ever wake up?
Well, I mean, a couple months ago, we were really fretting about health care. When do we wake up from that moment? When do we really stand up? Every time we have these conversations, it's the same thing. We are awake. We are standing up. You know, we allowed the Republicans to get in the White House. We allowed them to take both houses of Congress. We allowed them to take the majority of the governorships in this country. So we woke up. Everybody woke up when Donald Trump became president. So now we need to stay awake and keep fighting. I mean, that's all we have until 2018. We'll take that big blue wave, take over everything again, and get back to common sense government with good people who are trying to do the right thing.
I hope you're right, because, you know, I'm looking around and, you know, what I'm seeing coming out of our government, not just on the federal level, but where I live here in Pennsylvania on the state level, is dysfunction and tearing us apart. And, you know, even people that I used to be able to have conversations with, you can't seem to have a rational conversation anymore. And I'm not sure how you bring that back together other than around things like this horrible health care bill, which, you know, oddly enough, the vast majority of people are opposed to.
I mean, you have to. I say this all the time. It's like a family get-together. Everybody, the band's getting back together, and it's always messy. You know, we had the 2016 primaries. We're just getting past that. And, you know, we're fighting to come together. We all have the same ideals. We all have the same ideas of what we want our government to do. And we have to realize that the only way that we beat this is to stay united. The only way we win a presidential election in 2020 is if we're all united, or, you know, in 2018 too. We all have to get to go on this. I see a lot of hope. I feel really good about what we're doing. I feel good about the Democrats' messaging, and I'm talking about the candidates, and I'm not talking about the party itself. I'm talking about regular people standing up who are getting ready to run for office or who are. There's a lot to be proud of right now, and I'm really happy because we're seeing things we haven't seen in the Democrats, and it hasn't been this exciting to be a Democrat, or I haven't been this proud to be a Democrat in a lot of years.
I'm with you. Let me ask you this. I mean, because the Russia thing has taken a lot of air out of the room because there's a lot of focus on it. Do you think that all the Russia stuff has taken away from the healthcare? I mean, because to be honest, I'm looking at how bad this healthcare scheme crashed and burned, and actually kind of surprised that the Republicans haven't taken an even larger hit. And I think it's because all of the focus has been on Junior and on Manafort and on Trump and not really on the Republican Party, who has really wanted to saddle us with just pay or die health care.
Yeah, I mean, I got to go back to, again, saying history moves slow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, every Republican, when they went on the 4th of July recess, they went back to their hometowns and read newspapers with blaring headlines about Russia, about health care getting taken away, you know, everything else. And it moves really slow, but it is happening.
Yeah.
You're seeing the polling numbers of Paul Ryan in his district right now plummet. You're seeing throughout the country they're doing the same thing. But we're not seeing it in real time. We don't have the media saying, okay, they lost, you know, 215 seats, you know, in 2018. So we're seeing the beginnings of them falling apart, and they are going to fall apart.
That's good stuff. Let me ask you, you know, kind of the last line of questioning, because evidently McConnell and the leadership said they were going to stay through their August recess or an extra couple of days or weeks or whatever. Do they continue to work and not go home to face their constituents?
Well, they're not going to face their constituents. You know, they know that their policies are toxic. They know that they have everybody in the country mad. You know, the ones that do face their constituents, I do have to take my hat off to for having the guts to do it. But for the most part, you know, Paul Ryan, you know, he's not doing any more town halls, you know. So, of course, they want to work through it and push through whatever they can through the recess. But, you know, we just have to keep fighting them. You know, we have to dig deep and keep going, because, I mean, really everything we've ever had is a stick. But I think the Republicans are going to try to push the tax bill. They might even cut at health care. They may come back and have a completely revamped health care bill that's bad, too. Maybe not as bad as this one. You know, we got to stay vigilant. We got to keep fighting with them. You know, we have to oppose everything they do, because, you know, right now we are the opposition party. But it's not about Democrat versus Republican. It's about living versus dying, or right versus wrong. So I don't really like the opposition idea of it, but that's what we're doing. We're opposing this horrible, evil plan that they have. And we got to keep going.
There you go. David, I appreciate the time. Always great talking with you. Thanks so much for the work.
Thanks, Rick. Talk to you soon.
Good stuff. Our good friend David Yankovich. You want to check out his website? We've got a link at thericksmithshow.com. Just go to davidyankovich.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people.
There's a flaw in the system, and the fly in the oil and the storm.